We are in John chapter 10 for our sermon today. Just one verse. I hope that's okay with you. It's one of those that really has always grabbed my attention, and I hope we can meditate on it a little bit today. John 10, verse 10 goes like this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. So these are Jesus' words himself, and we'll be focusing on that last sentence there. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Let's pray together. Jesus, teach us about your life. Teach us what it means to live in you, and help us to worship you, the life giver, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. In your name we pray. Amen. Many of you have probably noticed that work is continuing there on the Parsonage Barn. They are digging out the foundations and shoring that up and making it stronger, as you have voted to do several years ago. And as they dig, all kinds of interesting things happen. They've unearthed some really massive rocks that I guess were the former foundation. And in among the rocks as well, they dug out this. Apparently, a summer complaint left us something back in 1916. Did they have cars back then? 1916. What? You said, wow? I've heard wow. I've heard, oh my goodness.
I've had a few people look at that and say, with kind of a glint in their eye, kind of like, I wish I had that in my collection of souvenirs. Massachusetts, 1916.
Sell it.
Get on it.
I don't know what to do with it. I guess I have to bring it up with the trustees, don't I? And I see what they say. I mean, it's your barn, it's your parsonage, so I'm not sure what to do with it. I wondered if anything else would turn up, but not too much has. There was one curiosity, not quite as old as that, but actually with the license plate, a car also turned up. A little plastic car. It's missing a few wheels. But, I mean, were kids playing down in that hole when they were building the bar? Oh, they didn't have plastic back then, I'm sure. But anyway, somebody maybe just threw it in there for trash. So that's about all that's turned up. But it's been a fascinating process to watch. And keep wondering what other kind of treasures are going to turn up. And as we approach God's Word, we can find all kinds of treasures in God's Word, too. And that's my concern in this series of sermons that I'm calling a summer faith lift, because I think there's just treasures galore in God's Word that we're completely forgetting about, that we're just not seeing, or I don't know, maybe we're so used to it that we're not really hearing it anymore, but wow, oh my goodness, what does it mean for somebody to say something like this? I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Who is this man who would say something like this? And what does he mean? And how can we make this life be a part of our own lives? Now, life is very complex, and since it's a nice and comfortable day, I think we could be here for about 10 hours, right, and talk about all of this. Or we could make it a little shorter, and we will. We'll just have a brief meditation. How about that? Who would say something like this? And I'm going to kind of talk about three different groups of people in our world and compare and contrast Jesus to this. I could maybe see somebody saying something like this who is in a life science or a life profession, like a doctor. Maybe a doctor would say something like this. Maybe a scientist would say something like this. There's a third group of people that I don't want to that probably get the closest of any group of people wanting to say something like this, and that would be salesmen. And we'll talk about that a little bit as well. Okay? But first of all, doctors. Do you think a doctor would say something like this? I mean, after all, if you feel like draining away, or if you don't feel like you're running at 100%, you're going to go to a doctor, right? Have you ever had a doctor say to you, oh, you're feeling a little bit sick today, let me give you my life? I mean, they're not going to say something like that, right? A doctor is going to poke you. A doctor is going to prod. A doctor is going to prescribe something, but they're not going to say something like this. And why not? That's because doctors treat people, but they don't create people. And that's what God does. That's His business. God is in the business of creating. He has the owner's manual for each one of us, the instructions, the quick start guide, believe it or not. God has that and runs that. He is the creator, and even more than that, He is the recreator, because we do run down in a spiritual sort of way and need to be remade, and that's why Easter is so important. We've talked about us being an Easter people, and that's why I've included on the back of your bulletin there, where it lists some other scriptures for you. One of my favorites, which talks about life, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. So Jesus saying, yeah, I came out of the tomb. I experienced new life. I am living now, and I will give that to you if you will believe to me, if you will believe in me and come to me. Now, that's what you do when you go to a doctor, right? You go into the doctor's office, into an exam room, and you crawl up on the examination table, right? And in a relationship of trust with that doctor, you let them poke you. You let them prod. You're trusting them with your life, in a sense, and saying, doctor, what would you prescribe for me? And I'm going to encourage you this week to get up on God's examination table too, to crawl up there and lay there, even physically if you need be, hands open, and just say, God, what do I need here? God, look at my life. What in me is dead? Do I need any surgery this week or this morning? God, what would your prescription be for me so that I might have new life as well? Now, I don't like to come with you for any grandiose suggestions if I wouldn't do them myself. And I've been doing this week. As I lay in bed trying to muster the willpower to get out of bed, I lay there and just say, God, okay, check me over. What do I need? I trust you, Lord. Reveal to me something that I need so that I can have this abundant life. I've been doing it myself, and I've enjoyed it, actually. It's ministered to me as well. See, I need this life as much as you do as well. So go into God's examination room, and in a relationship of trust with Him, let Him point out to you what it is that you need spiritually so that you can put yourself in His path so that His life blessing can come down upon you. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. What about a scientist? Can you imagine a scientist saying something like this? Many of them are life scientists, right? Biologists, botanists, what have you. They study life. Would a scientist say something like this? I have come so that you might have life and have it to the full. One of our most famous scientists is George Washington Carver. You ever heard of him? George Washington Carver, who was born into slavery and was a lover of gardens and plants. And he became concerned because in the South, King Cotton, as we called it, was just destroying the land. Cotton really drains the land of its nutrients, and he wanted to suggest something else to farmers that they could raise that would have more uses than just cotton and that would also rebuild the land. And George Washington Carver, can you remember back to the sixth grade, proposed what? Huh? Peanuts? I couldn't hear back in the back. Peanuts and
Sweet potatoes, believe it or not, because they're so nutritious, and those two things rebuild the soil. George Washington Carver, a wonderful man, was a very, very devout Christian, too. Here's one of my favorite quotes from him. We'll ask whether he would say something like this. But he did say this, I know this. I love to think of nature as an unlimited broadcasting station through which God speaks to us every hour if we will only tune in. Great man. But he wouldn't say something like this. He would point us to Christ as a Christian, I'm sure. Scientists would not say this because what scientists do with life is study the laws of life. But God made those laws, did he not? Scientists will research the laws of life, but God is the one who upholds all life. Colossians 1 tells us that he sustains all things. He's keeping it together right now, this very second. Scientists will analyze the laws of life, but God has the power to break those laws and to step into our life. Break the laws? What do we call that when God breaks laws? The laws of nature.
Miracles.
Ah, there you go. Who said that? Miracle. That's right. That's what a miracle is. A lot of us think of it as magic, a sleight of hand, a trick. It's not that. It's God as the creator, God as the living God saying, let's put a pause on this. Let me interfere right now and do something different. And your Bible is full of those kinds of stories. Full of it. I'm getting some goosebumps right now. Miracles are all throughout there, so much so that some people have trouble kind of imagining if this stuff could be real. And just to say, from what I've read, there's a hefty number of scientists that are believers, too. When you deal in this kind of stuff of life, you know there's got to be something else out there. So don't let the media tell you that it's any different. There probably are many more that still are searching, but there are many, many scientists that do believe in God for sure. And so those of us who believe both in the way the world works and also God know that he interferes every now and then and brings about miracle. One of my favorite stories is the one that you just cackled over a moment ago. Of a 90-year-old woman, you know any 90-year-old women? And a 100-year-old man that had a baby. There's some laughter even now. And that baby that was born to Abraham and Sarah, what was his name?
Isaac.
And Isaac is a good old Hebrew word which means laughter. I'm sure they were laughing at the joy that God fulfilled his promise to give them a son, but also just laughing at the fact that, what the heck? A 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man can conceive and have a son. But that's what the God of life does. He interferes. He comes in. He steps in and changes life just for a moment so that a miracle can happen. Are you ready for God to interfere in your life? It's kind of interesting. That word carries a negative connotation, doesn't it? We like our privacy here in this country. Don't like people interfering. But that's what miracles are. They are an interference with the laws of nature. The Bible is full of these kinds of stories, and if you want to know this God of life, this Jesus who said something like this, you're going to have to throw open yourselves to miracle. And Paul, when he does it, breaks into worship. We'll go to Paul again on the back of your hymnals, Ephesians 3. We often use this as a benediction where Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Who could imagine a 90-year-old woman going through something like this? According to his power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thirsty for a miracle? Well, here's something that you can do. Practice a sense of humor. I mean, what? God's doing what? What? God's going to answer this prayer? I would not trust anybody that is not able to laugh, especially a Christian.
You've got to have a sense of humor to find the life that Christ wants to have for you. In fact, these are two of my favorite pictures of Jesus. And I bet they are completely unfamiliar to you, because so very often in our church Sunday schools and in our Bibles and so on, we'll show a picture of Jesus as very austere and solemn or very religious. Kind of like Pastor Pillsbury that's out over the piano in the room back here. So many of you have commented about this picture of our first pastor that's in our parlor here. He just looks like a pastor from the early 1800s. But who would say, if somebody would say something like this, "I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly," don't you think he would laugh every now and then and smile every now and then? This is the God that we follow, and I think we're missing out on this. The Jesus that we have in our minds is the Pastor Pillsbury Jesus, God love him, and not this Jesus. If you want a copy of one of these pictures, shoot me an email and I can send you a file of one of those. Maybe you can make it your desktop, your screensaver or something. It's just so amazing to think of Jesus having a good time, laughing, enjoying life. But I bet he did. Okay, one more group of people, and I don't want to talk about this one, but I think we have to, because there are some people that get very close to this statement here in John 10:10 of offering us a full life, and those are the salesmen of our culture. They are telling us day in and day out, you need this, and then you'll be all happy and beautiful like what you see in my commercials. If you buy this, your life will finally come together. You need this kind of a car and it'll turn heads. You need to buy clothes at this store and then everybody will envy you. Our society is full of pitch men. Do you think Jesus is a pitch man? Maybe he's pitching something. Some people think that Christians are like that, that the church is just trying to share, trying to get you to believe certain things, or just trying to sell you some goods, sell you a bill of goods, right? We use that phrase as well. CBS News reports that we are exposed to 5,000 commercials and advertisements every day. And the segment of our population that is exposed more than any other are the senior citizens, because they watch more television. Back in the 1970s, it was 500 commercials per day. Would a salesman pitch this? Is Jesus just pitching something here? I want you to look at the way that is worded. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is a statement of fact, people. This isn't even a promise. This isn't even a, "if you buy this, then you will." He is saying, this is just it, period. And that final verse on the back of your bulletin there, John 14:6, which you know very well, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Boom, period. It's just a statement of fact. Okay, and that's what we've got here, a statement of fact as well. The reason that we know that Jesus is not pitching something is because of this. And because of this. Because he backed up his statement with action. He actually did something. A salesman, an advertiser in our culture, is not going to back it up with any action. They're waiting for you to act and buy the product. Jesus didn't. Jesus did not wait for that. He went ahead anyway. And died alone. And you're going to have to decide whether he's a salesman or whether he is a give man. You're going to have to decide whether you want to meet him at this table or not. And if you believe, if you're ready to accept that, if you know that he is a source of the life, then I invite you to join us at this table. You don't have to be a member of this church, just somebody that understands what this is about and believes that when he said, "I have come to give you life," he meant it. and he backed it up with action. Let's join together and sing hymn number 262, My Jesus.